Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of duodenal atresia found under the pediatric section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 45-year-old woman with polyhydramnios delivers a male infant with Down syndrome. Shortly after birth, the infant vomits greenish-yellow fluid. Imaging reveals two distinct pockets of air in the abdominal region. Let's continue with an introduction to duodenal atresia. This refers to congenital failure of the duodenal lumen to completely recanalize, and it results in stenosis of the duodenal passageway between the stomach and intestinal tract. It leads to gastric outlet syndrome. In terms of the epidemiology, this occurs in about 1 in 10,000 births. In terms of the pathogenesis, it is not completely understood, but thought to occur during weeks 8 to 10 of development. It is associated with Down syndrome in about 20 to 30% of Down syndrome cases, and it is also associated with other birth defects. Remember that biliary atresia is also associated with Down syndrome. Moving on to the presentation, symptoms include bilious vomiting that continues despite no feedings, as opposed to non-bilious emesis and pyloric stenosis. There may also be urinary infrequency. On exam, one may note abdominal distension, although this may not be present. One will also note the absence of meconium. In terms of further imaging, radiography will reveal a double bubble sign. The differential diagnosis for a double bubble includes other causes of duodenal obstruction. This includes duodenal atresia, duodenal web or stenosis, annular pancreas, malrotation of the bowel with the midgut volvulus, or Lad's bands. A fetal ultrasound may demonstrate polyhydramnios. In terms of the differential, make sure to think about pyloric stenosis and tracheoesophageal fistula. And in terms of the diagnosis, remember that this is based primarily on imaging. With regards to treatment, there are no preventative measures available at this time. Medical management includes gastric decompression by placing a G-tube to deflate the stomach. Another option is IV hydration and electrolyte control. This is indicated in all patients. Surgical interventions include surgical correction. Remember that this is not an emergency, and the approach depends on the anatomic variant. Complications related to duodenal atresia include that without treatment, the condition is lethal. And lastly, with regards to prognosis, remember that full recovery is expected after surgical correction. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to duodenal atresia, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 37-year-old woman delivers a male infant with Down syndrome at 38 weeks. His Apgar scores at 1 and 5 minutes are both 8, with scores of 1 for acrocyanosis and irregular breathing. He passes meconium several hours later. Between 24 and 48 hours after birth, the infant has multiple episodes of vomiting despite lack of feedings and does not have additional bowel movements. Vomitus is bilious and non-bloody. On physical exam, the infant is crying, he appears jaundiced, and his abdomen is distended. An abdominal radiograph is performed, which demonstrates a double bubble. Which is the first step in management of this patient? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, initiation of phototherapy. Choice 2, abdominal ultrasound. Choice 3, endotracheal intubation. Choice 4, nasogastric tube placement. Or choice 5, immediate surgical intervention. The best answer to this question is choice 4, nasogastric tube placement. The clinical presentation and radiograph are consistent with duodenal atresia. Nasogastric or orogastric tube placement is the first step in management prior to surgical intervention. Duodenal atresia is the congenital failure of the duodenal lumen to recanalize during fetal development. The condition is often seen in infants with Down syndrome and is associated with a number of congenital anomalies, including biliary atresia, as well as cardiac and renal malformations. Duodenal atresia presents with vomiting 1 to 2 days after birth. Abdominal radiographs reveal the double bubble sign caused by gastric and proximal duodenal dilatation with narrowing of the pylorus. Let's also discuss why other choices are incorrect. Phototherapy is used for decreasing the circulating unconjugated bilirubin levels in management of neonatal jaundice. Choice 2. An abdominal ultrasound would be performed if the infant's jaundice continues and there is no reason to suspect an obstructive cause, such as biliary atresia. There is no role for abdominal ultrasound in the management of duodenal atresia, which is the more pressing issue. Choice 3. Endotracheal intubation is not indicated, as the infant is not having respiratory distress. Choice 5. The need for surgery is not immediate. Decompression with the nasogastric or orogastric tube and initiation of IV fluids should be performed preoperatively. That's all for this review about duodenal atresia. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.